ain't asked now for nothing. I took the heart away. 12 put me over, coming with the. They took my heart away. Pouring liquor for my dick and gone. Thug holiday.
As Box to Row celebrates 13 years on the air on August the 20th. 2018. You know, I want to take this time to really talk with you about how Box to Row began, why it even began, and then, of course, how we've been able to really rev things up and have been able to be here for now 13 years. A lot really goes into this thing. And, you know, first of all, I'm a huge sports talk radio listener. I love, even now, growing up, I had always been a huge sports and radio person. And then growing up in Washington, D.C., in the Washington metropolitan area, there was a program that was called Sports Call. It was hosted by a gentleman by the name of Ken Beatrice, who has passed, or has since passed on. He passed on a couple of years ago. It was on WMAL AM 63. And I used to listen to that. Going to bed, I would listen to that particular show at night on my way to bed. Or if there was a Washington then Bullets game on, or a Washington Capitals game, or a Baltimore Orioles game. There was no Washington Nationals at that time. You know, I would listen to those games going to bed. And then also I was a listener of news of WTOP. At the time, it was AM 1500. Now it's, they have a couple of different FM signals now. But I used to love to really listen to WTOP a lot. Now, I listen to to FM and to music also, but I was really intrigued by talk radio. And even with WTOP, I remember late night, Larry King, everybody now knows Larry King, I think most notably, for CNN, but before CNN, Larry King was a radio guy. So, you know, I used to really love to listen to, just coming up, a lot of talk radio, a lot of sports radio, a lot of play-by-play, so on and so forth. So let me fast forward. I get a little bit older, and, you know, I'm a big fan, even still to this day, of Jim Rome. Love listening to the Jim Rome show. I think one of the first syndicated shows, sports talk shows there was out there, and one certainly that I listened to was Tony Kornheiser's show. When it was first on ESPN, it was, you know, it was syndicated. Used to really like listening to him, and then a lot of the local sports talk there in the Washington area. And then, of course, I went to Morgan State, graduated from Morgan State University, Lamont Germany, who's still the play-by-play voice for Morgan State. He also had a show that was hosted, I believe it was on Friday night. It's called Sports Rap, hosted on WEAA FM 88.9 in Baltimore. So there is really where I really begin, because he allowed me to be a part of the show, and to be, even as a student at Morgan State, allowed me to have a voice within that show. And so that's sort of how, you know, my beginnings, at least on air, for sports talk radio. So again, so we take it from that point, a student at Morgan State. Let's fast forward to, to 2005. Well, I really enjoyed listening to a lot of these syndicated programs. I mentioned Tony Kornheiser, of course, Jim Rome, etc. These shows weren't talking about HBCU sports, and that, you know, I had a passion for HBCU sports. As a matter of fact, both of my parents went to Howard. I grew up going to Howard football games. My father played football at Howard. He's a Howard Hall of Famer, as a matter of fact. And if you listen to Box to Row, you know that during Father's Day, he's at least the last 2 years, he's joined us as a guest on the program. So, you know, grew up around HBCU sports. And even when I was at Morgan State, I was the editor of the student newspaper. And even in talking about the happenings of sports at Morgan State, I still looked around what was going on in the world of HBCU sports as a whole, and included that in the newspaper as well. But again, there wasn't a lot of sports. It wasn't any sports talk radio really talking HBCU sports. And that's something that, you know, I thought was important and wanted to share, not just with HBCU sports people, but with people as a whole who listen to sports talk radio. At the end of the day, some of the greatest players to ever play in the National Football League went to HBCUs. I'm not even sure if the general sports population is aware of that. So I just decided, put together a little bit of a plan, and decided to essentially start a radio program. And to prepare for that radio program, I would listen to the likes of Mike and Mike in the Morning, because I had never hosted my own show. So I would listen to Mike and Mike. I listened to, and there's a gentleman, a local gentleman by the name of Adam Gold, locally here in Raleigh. He's been in this market, I guess, you know, 20 years. Matter of fact, he just celebrated 20 years last year. So I used to listen to his show and just sort of had my own style. But listening to how people that I respected really hosted sports talk shows. And so ultimately what I did was took some money and ultimately bought time on 5 radio stations. Station in Baltimore, which was our flagship station, and it covered the Baltimore, Washington area. A station in stations in Greensboro and Winston-Salem, North Carolina. A station in Birmingham. Our still one of our affiliates that still carries the program to this day, Power 750 WAUG in Raleigh. Then it was known as Power 750 WAUG. Now it's known as 750 WAUG. So those were the first. In a station in Birmingham also. So I think I may have mentioned that. So those were the first 5 stations. We ultimately, in the next couple of weeks, added a station in Durham, North Carolina, and then added a station in Atlanta. So those were the beginnings. Our very first show, again, August 20th, 2005, I drove from Raleigh to Baltimore to host that show. And as a matter of fact, 3 of the next 4 weeks, I did that. And on that very first show was Benita Best, who is still the sports editor of the Triangle Tribune. Also on that show, Hal Lamar, who covers the SIAC extensively. And then also Lute Williams, editor of the Black College Sports page, was on that very first show as well. Even on that first show, we talked about HBCU sports, but we talked about the happenings of the day. We talked a lot about the whole T.O. saga was going on at that time, with him not reporting to Philadelphia and all the shenanigans that sort of went along with that. And then also another big topic was Brett Favre and his not retiring, that type of thing. So that those were some of the hot button topics of the day in those in at least that first couple of shows. So 3 of the first 4 weeks hosted. Went up to Baltimore. Then Terry Banks took over the hosting duties from about the second week in September all the way through about the top of 2006. He was the host of From the Press Box to Press Row. At that point, we ran out of, really, bottom line was we couldn't generate the revenue, which has really been still a tough thing, generating the revenue for this program. Just ran out of revenue dollars to continue to pay radio stations. So ultimately, we had to cut back. 750 AM WAUG, they were so gracious. We did not have to pay for any airtime. As a matter of fact, then would come in on Saturdays and host that show live, would take calls, would have guests, and we just continued with that. I mean, I remember some of the first early guests, Rasheen Mathis, who, of course, went to Bethune-Cookman, retired more recently, was playing with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Gus Johnson, a Howard graduate, the then voice of the play-by-play voice of the New York Knicks, is now on Fox Sports. He was one of our first big guests. I mean, we had one of our really big guests to start things off was Michael Strahan. Terry Banks interviewed Michael Strahan during the playoffs in 2006. The Giants were not in the playoffs. Very gracious was Michael Strahan to come on our show. And look where Michael Strahan is now, of course, a graduate of Texas Southern University. So, you know, early on we had some really great guests, but the money had run out. So we had the one radio station, but we were still able to have the show air online as well. The technology then wasn't as big as it is now, but you still had that online piece where people could listen to the show online, and we still marketed it that way, and of course marketed to the listeners of Raleigh. And then something began to happen in 2006. We began to come back. We began to get more radio stations. WELE AM 1380, which still carries the show to this day, came on as a station there in Daytona. WNAA 90.1 FM in Greensboro became an affiliate, still carries the show to this day. So we started to really be able to pick up and get some affiliates. And basically from then, we haven't looked back. To this point now, we're on 40 radio stations around the country, still looking to air some stations. We're on or to have some stations air the program. We're on in markets such as Washington. A really big affiliate is WHUR. And of course, WHUR is owned by Howard. Well, WHUR HD2 took our program on in 2008 when they got their two Sirius XM channels, 141, which is HUR Voices, and 142, which is HBCU. They brought us along with us. So WHUR, very instrumental in how we've been able to grow, particularly with being on in a large market like D.C. and on HD radio, and then also on Sirius XM. When we came to Sirius XM, it was the first week in December of 2011 through HUR Voices. The show just took off to another level. And really, what we wanted to provide for the show that came on HUR Voices was more than just HBCU sports. We wanted to sort of, one of the passions that I've always had is entertainment. I've always said that if I wasn't covering sports, then I'd be doing something in the entertainment field. So we added the entertainment element where we would have as guests celebrities in the entertainment world that would come on, talk about their craft, but would also talk about sports if they were so inclined. So, I mean, we know obviously Aretha Franklin has passed more recently. Aretha Franklin has been one of the guests that we had in past years on From the Press Box to Press Row. Everyone from Snoop Dogg to Kevin Hart to Josh Stone to Ludacris to T.I. I lose track sometime of all the different guests that we've had on the program over the years. That's been one of the big elements, is some of the guests that we've had. And of course, we've had some of the big name sports guests as well. Serena Williams has been a guest on the program. She was a guest early on in the program back in 2007. Kevin Durant has been a guest on the program, the likes of Adrian Peterson. I mean, I'm just going off the top of my head. I mean, we've had so many guests, it's just really hard to keep up with Tony Dungy when he was coaching. As a matter of fact, we've had Ron Rivera has been a guest on the program. We've had Todd Bowles, at least two active coaches that have been guests on the show, NFL coaches, and then coaches in the past that no longer were coaches that have been guests on the show as well. I mean, Avery Johnson was a guest on the program when he was coaching the San Antonio Spurs. Yaron Washington was a guest when he was coaching the Texas Rangers. So we've had a myriad of guests, ranging from players to coaches to entertainers, and then of course student athletes of the HBCUs, coaches of the HBCUs. I mean, this has been a great journey for Box to Row. Also, with that being said, we've covered some great events. I mean, we've always covered the CIAA tournament. Our first coverage of the CIAA tournament, we did a live show back in 2006. It was the first year that the CIAA tournament was in Charlotte. But we've covered Super Bowls, from Radio Row, and then actual Super Bowls as well. We've covered NBA All-Star Weekends, NBA Finals, the U.S. Open when it was in Pinehurst in 2014, Major League Baseball All-Star Games. I mean, the list goes on and on in terms of how this show has really been able to grow. And, you know, again, I mentioned that the sponsorship aspect with respect to Box to Row, it's been a challenge. I mean, we feel like it could be better or bigger, feel like it should be. But, you know, a lot of it has to do with that sponsorship aspect. There's a lot of things that we would love to do, but unfortunately over the years have not been able to get the sponsorship consistently. We've had great sponsors, whether it's been Bojangles. Amtrak was a sponsor early on. Golden Corral has been a sponsor of this program. You know, Glory Foods has been a sponsor of this program at some point. I mean, we've had a lot of sponsorship over the years, but Megabus, you know, as I just think about some of the sponsors that we've had over the years, some of the national sponsors, but it's sort of been tough. But it hasn't deterred my passion for Boxtro and the passion of people that have helped with Boxtro over the years as well. You know, we've been able to do some really great things. Our coaches poll, which we implemented in 2009, where the coaches of the FCS HBCUs vote on the top 10 HBCU football programs each week for the Division I level. That runs in USA Today. So we're very proud of that. As a matter of fact, I had someone from NASCAR say to me, hey, from the NASCAR office, say, you know, I saw your poll in USA Today the other day, and he said it was very cool, and that is pretty cool to be able to, you know, have a to be able to be in a publication like USA Today. Speaking of NASCAR, I mean, we've had many NASCAR. One of the places I failed to mention, we covered the 2017 Daytona 500. It was great to be able to cover that. We've had got a good relationship with NASCAR, pretty good relationship with NASCAR, to the point where we've had some of their biggest drivers as guests, Kevin Harvick and Jimmy Johnson and you know, Bubba Wallace, who's on the circuit now. I mean, a lot of good NASCAR folks as well. So this the Boxtro piece, again, 13 years on the air, but it's more than just a radio show. We have Boxtro.com. We have a coaches poll. We have a media's poll. We do an All-America team for football and for men's and women's basketball as well. So this thing has really, really grown. And one of the reasons it's really grown is because of the support that we've been able to get from listeners, from those that are HBCU fans, from those that are not HBCU fans. So, you know, from the athletics departments of the various schools, from the sports information directors of the various schools, from the athletics directors from some of the various schools. So this is why Boxtro has been on the air for 13 years, why it's been able to have the success that I think that it's had. It has had success, maybe not in the financial realm, but it has had success in terms of being able to be around for 13 years and to be a voice in the HBCU sports industry. And so I'm extremely proud of that, and looking forward to another 13 years of Boxtro on the air. You know, in this podcast, I mean, I could go on with this podcast, this particular podcast, for hours and hours and hours, from all the successes that we've had. There's been obviously a lot of downs as well. But all in all, have a great passion for Boxtro and for HBCU sports, and want to really continue to grow this thing. And then, of course, evolve it again, not just with respect to HBCU sports, because one of the things we want to do is be able to grab the person that may not understand HBCU sports, may not know HBCU sports, but be able to allow them to gravitate, to be able to take something away from the show, to say, you know, I didn't know that. I mean, just as an example, the show that we had this past weekend, Justin Hardy, a running back for Miles, is a pretty good player. We had him as a guest on the program as our countdown to kickoff continued, as we getting people set for the HBCU football season. He's one of the best players in all of HBCU football. Well, if you listen to that particular show, you heard Justin Hardy, but then you also heard from Bubba Wallace, who drives the number 42 for Richard Petty Racing. Then you also heard from the Queen of Soul as we celebrated her life. So, you know, there's a little bit of something for everyone as it relates to Boxtro. We're extremely proud of what we've been able to do with the show, and we're looking forward to another 13 years with this program. So continue to support the show at Boxtro.com. Continue to support Boxtro, of course. Continue to support the program that's on radio by listening on a radio station near you. You can also listen on Saturdays 9 a.m. Eastern. That's 8 a.m. Central Time and 6 a.m. Pacific Time on Sirius XM channel 142. You can log onto our website at BoxShiro.com to find a radio station in your area that carries the program. Continue to support this program. Also, if you have a business and you want your business to really get out there, again, we have a platform that can allow for people to hear your spot and to know more about your business via Sirius XM, our satellite radio, via terrestrial radio, and also via online as well. And then, of course, on our website as well. So that's a little bit of a history of Botch to Row. We appreciate you listening to this particular podcast. Happy birthday to Botch to Row as we celebrate 13 years on the air as of August 20th, 2018. That it's gnawing at the corners of your mind.